We are inundated with information. We are in an age in which we have so much information coming at us, it's almost overwhelming. We can find almost anything we want from any source, from anywhere, without any issue whatsoever. In the midst of all this information, if not information overload, we have lots of different responses to how we deal with the information. Some of us may just take it all in and not worry about it, which seems a little unwise. We need to be a little bit critical of some of the things we hear. Some people ultimately just reject it. I don't want to deal with it. This is the way I am. I'm done. Which also can be unwise because new things can challenge us and help us. Now, most of us, I hope, are in the middle ground. But the middle ground is very dynamic and has a lot of nuances to it. And that's where we need to spend some time. In the middle ground, we can say, well, I hold my views, my opinions, and that's what's good. Nothing else is important. But I'm listening to things within the realm of what I want. Or maybe we only listen to certain bits of information, and that's what we like, or certain sources. Now, there's a challenge to that, and we see it come strongly in our first reading today from the book of the prophet Amos. But to really grasp what's going on, I need to explain the history of that area. Now, Bethel was a very, very important place. Going way back before even the time of Abraham, this was called the house of God. Beth, house, El, Elohim, God, house of God. That's what the name means. So here, Jacob, as he was journeying from his father's land to go find a wife, he rested at this spot. And that's when God revealed this ladder where angels descend and ascend upon it, and he called the place the house of God. Later on, after the Israelites journeyed through the desert, crossed the Jordan, and came, this was the place where the Ark of the Covenant lasted for about 400 years. This was a very important and holy site in all of Israel. So holy that the people there kept this sense of God's presence there for hundreds of years. So you can imagine that Amaziah, the priest there, when he hears this little prophet guy coming up saying, you're wrong, went, no, we've been here for a long time. We know who God is. Don't tell us we're wrong. In that vein, we can now see the dynamicism of what I was talking about. That we can be so ingrained in what we think and what the world ought to be that we don't listen to anything new. Amos is a prophet of God. He was called there to tell them, you know, this isn't going so well. You're not following God's laws. You need to get back to the core of what Judaism is. They didn't want to hear it. We want to be more like Amos, or at least people who listen, and to really engage with the things of our time in such a way where we can prudently listen and criticize and deal with the things of our time. Now, that's very challenging. St. Paul directs us to the right place so that we know how to deal with things. Not that everything's important. He focuses on one primary place. That's God. God who is truth. God has revealed himself to us. He has shown us his truth. And in that way, we have a way to encounter something that's solid, something that's true, something that's real, and be guided by it so we can deal with the things of the world in a different way. But to grasp how we get there, I want to start out with a different starting point. I want to look at the things of our world a little bit differently. So let's look at science for a moment. Science for right now in our current age is kind of the harbinger of truth. Everything that we think of as true comes from science. Yet, I remember when I was in elementary school, I was told that lightning goes from the ground up because it goes from positive to negative. By just staring at lightning for a little while, I realized that was wrong, because it clearly goes from the sky down. And I was also told that the moon causes the day and night cycle, that the shadow of the moon causes the night. I think all of us realize that's also wrong. It's the rotation of the earth that causes that. So although I was told wrong things, the way I dealt with it was to just look at the world around us. It teaches us many things. And that is the core of science. It's empirical. It looks at the world. It deals with facts and data. But that being said, science has its foundation, and a very strange foundation. It's based on two basic ideas. One is that we can interact with the things around us. If we happen to be a brain in a vat, science is gone, because I'm just thinking of things. There's nothing there. The other side of it is that it's based on laws, that I can repeat stuff. If I did this experiment today, it'll be the same tomorrow as it will be 10 years from now. Things don't change. There are laws. If we discredit any of those two, everything we learned from the scientist is gone. The same thing works in psychology. The psychology is based on the fact that we can know the things in our mind. Our mind has patterns and behaviors and things we can do with it. All of this is part of that realm of psychology. And as we venture and learn more, we can help people in anything that's mentally based. Everything has its starting point. When it comes to the realm of faith, a lot of people criticize us because we seem to be people that just kind of float around and do what we want, or that we can't prove God, therefore let's dismiss everything, as though faith has no foundation. Interestingly enough, for almost 800 years, theology was considered a science and put in the same realm as the natural sciences because of the way investigation was done in the theological realm. And in the same vein as science and psychology and sociology and all the other fields, there is a basis to theology, and it's based out of two places, revelation and then experience. Revelation is the reality that God came to us first. He made things known to us. And all the rest of theology is based on explaining and understanding that basic point of revelation. The same thing works with experience. One person may experience God and we say we're crazy. 10 people and we think it's a cult. 1,000 people and we start to wonder. But when we get up to like 1 million or 1 billion people, it's kind of hard to discredit that experience. That's the same thing that underlines our faith as well. It's this experience of God and a collective experience of God that forms what we believe. So although things may be in flux and things may be in chaos, we can seek the truth. Now the great challenge for us is, unlike science and mathematics and psychology and these things that we think more solid, when something shakes the scientific realm, we just go, oh, we'll figure it out later. We haven't learned enough yet. When something shakes our faith, it becomes something very serious. We can't start saying God doesn't exist. We can't start saying Jesus is merely human. That's a pretty big issue. So what happens when our faith is shaken in that way? When things start to be in conflict? I'm certain if you've read the news on the church today, lots of people have lots of different opinions. But what is true? How do we come to understand it? That is experience. Today's gospel is a wonderful example of what I mean. So Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2 to go and preach. They took nothing with them, which from the onset is very simple. You take nothing with you, so you trust completely in God. That was the goal. Jesus said, trust in me and go. What happened, though? That wasn't what really happened. What happened was, as they went out, they cast out demons. They cured people. They saw conversions. It was the experience of being completely dependent on God's will that really shaped their whole faith. They saw God in action. And that's what changed everything. And that's what changes us as well. When we wonder about the truths of the gospel, when we wonder about the truths of faith, when we ponder the mystery of God and come to various different conclusions, that's because we haven't seen him in action. The experience isn't there, and the rest of it won't make sense. But that's why both have to come together. God came to us. He revealed himself to us, and we ponder that mystery. And we see from experience what he's doing, so that we know the truth of the gospel. That's exactly what St. Paul talks about today. His experience with Ephesians was truly that, an experience of faith. He saw God at work, and he preached that God is true. His ways are solid and firm. They don't change with the ebb and flow of humanity. They are always the same. There's something solid, something firm there that we can know. God wants us to know it. So as we are challenged with the things of the world and the radical changes of our time, we should be seeking the truth with an openness. If we really want the truth, it requires us to spend energy and effort finding it, but also humility to realize we could be wrong. There's better things out there. But constantly seeking the truth, God himself. Because once we do, we realize something so profound about the truth, that it's relational. It helps us to know who God is, as he is, not as a figment of our imagination, not as some idea, but as a real being, who's there, who we can encounter, who we can listen to, who we can know. And this is what changes our lives. This is what forms our faith.